plaited threads into designs made up of all kinds of stitches. Buttonhole, broom, tower, rib, spider, moon, popcorn, sunset, lover stitch, and, my favorite, the bottom of the basket stitch, which enchanted me not so much for its shape, but for its name, which seemed to offer both a threat and a promise. An unknown, unexplored place that could hold fortune or hardship, where you might equally find a silver coin or a scorpion. Something only revealed to those with the courage to take risks and stick their hand inside. Of course, the stitches weren't actually called that back then. They arrived here in Pajeú River Valley with foreign names, names we never learned. But as we became familiar with them, we were able to identify their similarities with things in the world, baptizing them one by one as if we'd always owned them. In the afternoons I spent hunched over my pillow, I tried to imagine what name I might give a stitch if I happened to come up with one of my own. Not that I had such ambition, but in a moment of carelessness, the needle might get tangled in the thread, go where it shouldn't, and voila, a new stitch is born. It would be the first stitch created in this hot country, and not in the foreign land from where the first ones came, an ocean away from Sertão, brought over by nuns and spied by Vitorina from the top of a ladder. Creek stitch, dew stitch, dawn stitch. Those were the names I had secretly chosen to christen my first stitch, which might never be invented. Son of the high altitude Kachinga, the region where Lampião was also born, who, back then, in the year of grace of 1918, was just starting his life of crime, and of whom we would only hear about in Bonhichido years later. A rambunctious story about men, so different from our story that took place almost imperceptibly between silences and whispers. I always believed that when I laid eyes on my newly created stitch, I'd know exactly what to call it, just like mothers do with their children. Those who don't risk giving their offspring a name that wasn't meant to be. You choose Nonatu in honor of his grandfather, but the boy insists on looking like a Casemiro for the rest of his life. Hence the abundance of nicknames in the world. After all, things choose their names, not us. As soon as the cousin of a cousin of another cousin of Vitorina's cousins returned to the convent, the secret Vitorina spied from the eaves was passed to anyone willing to learn. In no time, a small group of women, myself included, began to meet daily to make fine tablecloths, doilies, placemats, and napkins. It didn't take long for one of our pieces to make it to the capital, a gift offered to a lady from a good family who showed our work to another lady from a good family who, in turn, over shortbreads and afternoon tea, showed it to another lady from a good family. "See how perfect it is? It's from some backwater near Serra Talhada, but it looks like it was made in Europe. Do you think there's any way to place an order?" Orders were quickly made. When ladies from good families show an interest in something, someone always seizes the opportunity to take a cut. Weeks later, a gentleman in a dark suit arrived in our town, sweating more than the local man who worked the land, announcing his intention to buy our work at a good price for us and for him. Chia Firmina was responsible for dealing with the man. Because she was the oldest of the group, and because she didn't have children to steal her time, she could devote herself to taking orders and bookkeeping, and then sharing the earnings equally among us. "If not for me, this guy would be putting one over on all of you. He tried to get a formal tablecloth for a pittance. What a bunch of hogwash. Lucky I'm here.